Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
Western Australia. The annual Rotary Kwinana Community Fair was held in Callista within the city of Kwinana on November 8th. A Falun Dafa booth was among the 100 booths participating. Practitioners demonstrated the five exercises, introduced Falun Dafa, and raised awareness of the ongoing persecution of the peaceful practice by the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. People signed the petition calling to end the human rights abuses. Booth visitors Chris and Gary signed the petition and expressed their support for the practitioners' efforts. Chris shared, "I've known about Falun Dafa for 20 years. We were just at Parliament House not long ago, and there were a couple hundred of you practitioners." She added with tears welling up in her eyes, "The energy there was very beautiful, emotional, very teary." Gary said that people need to look into the persecution side of what goes on in life these days. He advised, "Don't just shy away and walk past it." He encouraged Falun Dafa practitioners to keep the momentum going and continue to make people aware of the atrocities.
The Netherlands. Falun Dafa practitioners held an event in Wezenaar, a town in the province of South Holland, on November 8th. The local newspaper, called De Wezenaar's Krant, reported on the Falun Dafa Information Day. Practitioners set up their booth around noon, and a photographer from the newspaper took pictures of their exercise demonstration. Local residents who heard about the activities came to sign a petition in support of Falun Dafa. A gentleman from Portugal happened to be visiting a friend in Wezenaar. He told practitioners in fluent Chinese that he taught modern Chinese history and knew about the persecution of Falun Dafa in China. He took a copy of the 9 commentaries on the Communist Party and other brochures in Chinese.
Bulgaria. The Art of Jianshan Ren International Exhibition opened in the city of Svilengrad on October 20th in the city's historical museum. The exhibition was on display until November 20th, and residents had the opportunity to experience Falun Dafa's universal principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance through art. The paintings, created by artists from around the world who practice Falun Dafa, show the beauty of their spiritual experiences, as well as the resilience of practitioners in the face of 26 years of persecution by the CCP. Falun Dafa practitioners from Stara Zagora welcomed the residents of Svilengrad, who attended the exhibition opening, and explained the story of each painting, why the exhibition was held, and the messages conveyed by the paintings. Longtime director of the Historical Museum, Alina Mitobin, was the recipient of the Golden Pen Award from the Union of Bulgarian Journalists for her work. She commented, "One can ponder many questions while looking at the light in these paintings." Journalist Clara Metodiba said, "I'm very impressed by the paintings you present. In this exhibition, we see so much meaning and content of people's feelings and experience." Ms. Metodiba took photographs of the exhibition and wrote an article about the event for the municipal daily newspaper, The Old Bridge.
Belgium. Falun Dafa practitioners held an event at Albertine Square in the city of Brussels on November 8th to raise awareness of the CCP's persecution. Many people accepted flyers, expressed a desire to learn Falun Dafa, and rejected the crime of forced organ harvesting. Manuel Valenti is a scholar of philosophy at KU Leuven in Portugal. He signed the petition calling to stop the brutality and said, "I strongly condemn forced organ harvesting, especially from political prisoners. I cannot accept organ harvesting from specific groups. I wish Falun Dafa practitioners success in their efforts to expose such a terrible act." Manuel said, although he hadn't previously known about Falun Dafa, he believed the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance should be treasured by any reasonable society. He said any action to safeguard such values is important.
Japan. Falandafa practitioners participated in the Goen Rakuichi Fair that took place in the city of Kawasaki on November 15th. They talked with local residents and taught the free Falandafa exercises. Many people who did the exercises said they felt relaxed, refreshed, and comfortable, and agreed with the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. The fair is organized by volunteers and nonprofit civil organizations dedicated to contributing to society. Goen means predestined relationship in Japanese.
The Netherlands. On November 9th, Falandafa practitioners held an awareness-raising activity at Dam Square in the city of Amsterdam. This location has historically been a place for people with different backgrounds to come together and share their story with the public. During the four-hour-long event, practitioners demonstrated the Falandafa exercises, told people about the spiritual discipline, and about its persecution in China. People from different countries as well as from China stopped to listen to practitioners. Some took informational materials and others signed a petition going to the G7 plus 7 nations to support the end of the state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting that targets Falandafa practitioners in China. Dr. Janine Meyer, a doctor and medical advisor who lives in Amsterdam, has worked with doctors from China. When she noticed the petition to stop organ harvesting from Falandafa practitioners in China, she felt compelled to sign it. She said, "These scandalous practices are unworthy of humankind. It's a form of abuse and oppression, intimidation, you name it." The doctor said that she would discuss this topic with her medical colleagues.
Indonesia. On November 9th, Falandafa practitioners set up an information booth demonstrating the five sets of exercises and distributed informational materials to the public during Car Free Day in central Jakarta. Many passersby stopped to watch as practitioners did the exercises, while others visited the booth to learn more about Falandafa. Several new participants joined the group exercises immediately after receiving information about the practice. A national online media outlet named Dedic Health covered the practitioners' activities that morning. The piece was called "Finding Peace Amidst the Bustle of Jakarta Residents" and said, "A group of Falandafa participants meditated peacefully amidst the bustling crowds enjoying the car-free day. They radiated peace in the heart of the bustling capital."
Finland. Falandafa practitioners conducted activities at Kamppi Square in the city of Helsinki on November 15th to raise awareness of the communist persecution of practitioners. People signed the petition calling to stop the forced organ harvesting in China. A teacher living in Helsinki by the name of Krista commented that China is an authoritarian country and has many forced labor camps. Some of her family members are Chinese. They avoid some topics and are very careful when they talk about some sensitive issues because they are afraid of spies. Krista said that she knows China is a big country with an ancient cultural foundation, but stressed that everyone should have basic human rights. A practitioner told her that the CCP continuously broadcasts propaganda, including that there is no China without the CCP. She laughed and said, "Although we have two Chinese relatives, we don't know much about China and the daily lives of Chinese people." She encouraged practitioners and said, "Persist, be brave, and speak out. I hope my signature can offer a little help."
New Zealand. A rally at Commercial Bay Square in the city of Auckland was held on November 15th to introduce Falandafa to the public and to raise awareness of the CCP's persecution of the practice in China. Barry Wilson, the former chair of the Auckland Council for Civil Liberties and human rights lawyer, Kerry Gore, addressed the rally. They called on the New Zealand government, international organizations, and all circles of society to pay attention to the CCP's persecution. Many people stopped to watch and signed a petition to support ending the crimes. Mr. Gore called for action and said, "The question is no longer whether we should act. It is how we will act. I urge everyone to contact their local member of parliament and voice your concern. Demand meaningful action. Advocate for Magnitsky-style legislation to hold accountable those responsible for human rights abuses. Support laws that criminalize transplant tourism and penalize those who facilitate or profit from these atrocities. Silence enables oppression. By raising our voices, by pressing for concrete measures, we can help protect those who continue to suffer and move one step closer to ending this persecution.
Canada, although Christmas is over a month away, holiday celebrations are already underway in the province of Ontario, where several parades are held every year. The Tiangong Marching Band was invited to participate in five of them. The band performed in a parade in the town of Newmarket on the morning of November 15th, followed by appearances in Hamilton and London later that afternoon and evening. The next day, they played at an event in the town of Milton in the afternoon before traveling to Newcastle to join a 5:30 p.m. parade. Spectators applauded the Tiangong Marching Band and recorded photos and videos at the events. They were happy to hear about Falun Dafa's principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. A spectator named Jenny commented, "The music is unique, but somehow familiar. I think the band members merged in the performance. They use a different way to present the theme of Christmas. I enjoy it." She added, "These principles are what the world needs right now. I wish more people learned these principles, which would let them connect. It would be very good." Jenny said she would visit the Falun Dafa website and learn more about the practice. The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. Miss Chen Yan, a 45-year-old woman from Liaoning Province, died on November 8, 2025. 3 days after she was admitted to the Liaoning Province Women's Prison to serve a 5-year term for her faith in Falun Gong. Black viscous fluid flowed out of her mouth when the coroner turned her over. Miss Chen's parents noted that her eyes were open, her mouth was agape, and her hair was matted. They were not given the autopsy report and refused to sign a consent to have her body cremated. Several prison guards insisted that the elderly couple send in an appreciation flag to thank the prison for taking their daughter to the hospital to have her treated for heart failure, but a hospital doctor revealed that she showed no signs of life when she was brought in. Miss Chen was arrested in July and was sentenced to 5 years. She had previously served a 3-year term in the same prison from 2015 to 2018. And was forced to take unknown drugs that damaged her central nervous system.
Mr. Chie Chunfeng, a 52-year-old man from Shantou City, Guangdong Province, died on September 18th after suffering years of persecution for his faith in Falun Gong. Mr. Chie held firm to his faith and was repeatedly targeted. He was arrested when he went to Beijing to appeal for Falun Gong. He later faced frequent harassment and later went into hiding. He stayed away from his home for 8 years to avoid further persecution. He returned in 2012. Mr. Xie was not the only person in his family who had been targeted for practicing Falun Gong. His mother, Ms. Kai Yichong, served a combined total of 5 years. His older brother, Mr. Kaya Chun's, was given 2 years of forced labor and almost died of torture in custody. Their younger sister, Ms. Chaya Chunyao, was also held at a labor camp. The sibling's father, Mr. Chaya Ji Ki, who did not practice Falun Gong, faced constant threats from local authorities because of his wife and 3 children's faith. He died before 2020.
More than 10 Falun Gong practitioners in Mengying County, Shandong Province, were arrested in August. The arrests were ordered by the Shandong Provincial Public Security Bureau. The authorities monitored the practitioners' cell phones for months before making the arrests. They dispatched nearly 30 police officers from other provinces to participate in the arrests. Each officer received the practitioners' photos on their phones. They wore plain clothes and drove cars with non-police license plates when conducting the arrests. The following are just a few cases. police arrest 65-year-old Miss Daiza Xing after five officers waited outside her home. 70-year-old Mr. Gong Maoming and his wife were taken away while eight officers searched their house, even going through the firewood. More than 20 officers broke into the home of Miss Wang Mingfeng, about 74 years old, and confiscated her Falun Gong books and a speaker. They then searched the nearby home of 78-year-old Miss Chao Changshang and seized more than 50 of her Falun Gong books.
Miss Fu Hong, 57, from Qinwandao City, is appealing a five-year prison term. Miss Fu was arrested at a train station in November 2024 after security officers found Falun Gong books in her luggage. In October 2025, a judge sentenced Ms. Fu to 5 years. Ms. Fu took up Falun Gong in 1998 after witnessing how her mother, Ms. Xu Wien, recovered from various ailments after she practiced Falun Gong. After the persecution started, Ms. Chu went to Beijing in late 1999 to appeal for the right to practice Falun Gong. She was arrested, escorted back to Qinwandao, and detained for more than 10 years. After she returned, she began to experience various physical conditions. Her fear further intensified when a former good friend attempted to take her to a brainwashing center. Due to the mental distress from the persecution, Ms. Fu's parents gradually became withdrawn. Her father had a stroke and so did her mother. They passed away after being bedridden for 2 years.
Introducing Falun Dafa and the persecution in China at events in France. November 11th is a public holiday in France. Falun Dafa practitioners demonstrated the exercises in the Parisian neighborhood of Belleville and talked with passers-by about the spiritual practice and the CCP's persecution. Many people signed a petition calling to stop the crimes. Several Chinese people renounced their memberships in the CCP and its affiliated youth organizations during the event. Hugues de Scarpentries, a painter, composer, and astrologer, talked with practitioners at Belleville. He said this was the first time he heard of the CCP's state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting of prisoners of conscience, and he was shocked. He said he was interested in learning how to do the exercises. When Mr. de Scarpentries heard that Falun Dafa's guiding principles are truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, he said, "These are values for the whole of humanity to follow. Human consciousness has stagnated, remaining within the same patterns. Humanity has not progressed on a spiritual level. However, some people in the world have already acquired these values. They are more advanced." He continued, "Everyday people do not cultivate. This is why such horrible situations happen in China and Ukraine. We used to think that the terrible things in World War II, including the genocide of the Jews and atomic bombing at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, will probably never happen again, but they are repeating. We can hope that one day on Earth human beings can have these values." Earlier in the month, on November 8th, practitioners in eastern France conducted information-sharing activities in the town of Colmar. Local residents and tourists learned about Falun Dafa, and many signed a petition calling to end China's state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting. That same day, practitioners shared the practice and raised awareness of the persecution during an event at the Place d'Italie in Paris. Many people took a stand against the persecution. Some learned the Falun Dafa exercises and asked about group practice sites. A hospital worker named Susie offered, "The persecution is destroying human beings and the whole world. We cannot agree and must object to this. It's abnormal for people to persecute others. We all live in this world. We should respect each other, and we cannot persecute anyone because they are different." Falun Dafa practitioners also held an information day at Place Medard on November 15th in Campierre, a cultural and historic city in northern Brittany. Rafael from Chile lives in Campierre and said he recalled seeing similar activities in the French city of Besançon. He said the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance are good. He signed the petition and said he wanted to learn how to practice Falun Dafa. Raphael indicated that he would learn more about the forced organ harvesting online. A local resident named Mazi, who has studied Chinese and Korean traditional medicine, commented, "Many good Chinese doctors flee to Taiwan. European people no longer support the CCP, and it will collapse." He also said he knew the Chinese regime persecutes Falun Dafa. He signed the petition and took a copy of the book, The 20-Year Persecution of Falun Gong in China. A couple accepted a flyer about the forced organ harvesting atrocities. The husband said he plans to learn more about the persecution online. He also accepted a copy of the book, The 20-Year Persecution of Falun Gong in China.
Practitioners inspired at Falun Dafa Cultivation Experience Sharing Conference in Brazil. The 2025 Brazil Falun Dafa Experience Sharing Conference was held in São Paulo on November 8th. 14 practitioners discussed cultivation experiences that included how they applied Falun Dafa's principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, looked inward when confronted with challenges, let go of their attachments, returned to traditional values, and overcame difficulties while helping master save people. A practitioner named Rula reported that she eliminated stubborn notions by looking within herself and overcoming laziness. She explained, "For example, when it's cold outside or there's a risk of rain, we may think, I won't catch a cold, but staying in my warm bed is so comfortable. I'll forego going to the park to do the exercises. We should promptly capture and suppress such thoughts. This change of mindset is precisely the process of letting go of attachments, thus raising our level. While volunteering to help with the catering team for the Xianyan Performing Arts Brazil Tour, Rula searched for recipes on her cell phone. She started to have dreams about eating delicious food. She then looked within, corrected her thinking, and said, I started watching fewer random videos and stopped actively searching for innovative dishes. After that, those dreams ceased. Practitioner Odetta coordinated an online exercise session every day for more than 4 years and said the exercises are very beneficial. She feels very energetic and she's able to think clearly. She sometimes feels it's not easy to wake up early, but she's persistent. She shared, even though I feel a lot of discomfort and even some initial pain, I do the exercises and everything aligns, improves, and strengthens me. My day really does become brighter. I'm overcoming that initial reluctance to get out of bed. I'd just like to tell other practitioners that overcoming this initial barrier in the morning is crucial. She added, I must ignore any interference and move forward. A practitioner named Giselle knows that practitioners should treat all people compassionately, but because of her own prejudices, she did not like people who were left-leaning politically and thought they were all bad. She ended up working at a company which had many left-leaning employees, so she used this opportunity to become more tolerant and eliminate her attachments. People could tell she was calm and kind. When a colleague organized a dinner and asked everyone to pay a share, the others ignored it. Giselle sent her payment receipt to the group email, and after the others saw it, they began submitting their share. Her co-worker was very grateful and said that if Giselle hadn't set the example, the others wouldn't have paid. Giselle said, "Before I left the company, I told my co-workers about Dafa, and I gave each one a leaflet. I felt my mission there was complete. They respected me because I respected them. They helped me immensely in my cultivation."
Thank you for listening to the Mingwei Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.